Well, good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. It's good to see each of you here. It's a little bit different. This is a first for us. We've baptized in the sanctuary before, but we've never had a tub of water. And I want you to know that it wasn't just as easy as just bringing a tub of water in here. There's a whole long story behind it. I won't take time to do it, but yeah, if you want to ask maybe some of the applicants what all went on. On second thought, you might not want to. Welcome each one. Good to see you, visitors. Saw a couple of preachers. I should have taken the opportunity to have someone else share. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I told the class this morning that I'm going to be brief because they're each going to share. And so we don't want to take a lot away from them, but I just want to share out of scripture here a little bit on the topic of baptism and what baptism is. And I've just kind of entitled baptism is a picture, or baptism, our identification with Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 6, the first six verses. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. This is where I like King James Version better. He says, now I forget what he says. God forbid. Yes, I like that version better, but here it says, certainly not. Same meaning. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Don't we know that? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. That's the word of God. Baptism, our identification with Jesus. The first thing I want us to see is that baptism really does identify us with Christ's death. The first three verses tell us that. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's asking a rhetorical question. And here, he's writing to a people that took grace as a license to sin. And he's asking that. What should we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The popular thinking was, well, if we have all this grace and God gives it more abundantly as we sin, why shouldn't we sin so that grace is poured out? But he's asking this question. What's his answer? He says, certainly not. The question is, shall we keep sinning so grace may abound? He says, certainly not, by no means, God forbid. Then he asks another question. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? He gives a picture of death. If you die physically, are you still alive? No. He's saying, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that as many as you were what? Baptized into Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing this morning. He says, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized in Jesus Christ were what? Baptized into his death. Pretty simple. So let's remember Jesus' death. When we remember Jesus' death, we're reminded of what? We're reminded, first of all, of his sufferings before he died. I hope that's what you remember. His sufferings. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane. The sweat of blood, the big drops of blood. He sweated that much. Do we remember the beatings that he took in front of Pilate? The mocking. The sinless Son of God being mocked, being beat. His flesh being torn off his back, opened up. And if you read Isaiah, it gives a picture. It says he was disfigured so you couldn't even recognize him. Then he was carried his cross up to the Mount of Calvary. And I believe he crawled on that cross by himself. I don't think he had to be put on the cross because of a scripture I'm going to read later. And he crawled on that cross in the condition that he was in, with his flesh torn open and bleeding. The rejection of those people that he came to serve, the Jews, knowing that he came to save those, and he was thoroughly rejected by them. Not only was he rejected by the people, but he was rejected for a time by his only Father, God. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." Remembering Christ's suffering through baptism. When we remember Jesus' death, we are reminded of his sacrifice. You know, he suffered not for himself, but he suffered for us. He didn't pay for his own sins, but he paid for your sins and he paid for my sins. Jesus never sinned. 1 Peter 2:21-24 says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore whose sins?" Whose sins? My sins. In his own body on the tree. "That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By those stripes, you were healed." Jesus suffered for our sins. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous," or "the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, that being made alive by the Spirit," put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. That's why he died. And he did it, why? So we can have an abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come to steal, except to steal and kill and destroy. But Christ came what? He came that they may have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Have you ever thought about what it means to have life more abundantly than you have now? It means to have it to the fullest. I looked in the Greek lexicon or whatever, and some of the things, I didn't write them down, the descriptions, but it meant to have an extreme life. We're not meant to have a boring life, but we are meant to have a life that is full. So we come to the end of this life, and we, as one old writer put it, he wants to skid into heaven, worn out, penniless, and just spent for Jesus Christ. We're not meant to have a bank account or have an abundant energy left when we get it into heaven. He came that we can have an extreme life. I like that. I like that. And he did it willingly for us. "Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." This is a scripture where I think gives me reason to believe that Jesus crawled on the cross by himself and didn't have to be put there. He lay it down. Why? So that he can take it up again. He says, "No one takes it from me." Nobody on this earth could take Jesus' life, but he gave it for us. "I lay it down to myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Baptism is a picture of Christ's burial and identifies us with Jesus. He says, "Therefore, we're buried with him." That's what he's talking about. That's what I'm talking about this morning. As we go into the water, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. See, when we are placed under the water, we are testifying to the fact of Christ's death and burial, and we are publicly and willingly identifying with that. Baptism is not salvation, but it is a symbol of salvation. And somehow it's tied all together, and I don't have time to go into that. But baptism is not what saves you. It's already happened. It's identifying with him, testifying to the fact of Christ's birth or death, testifying because he died, we died, and we're buried with him. We're identifying with him. And then also, baptism is also then a picture of the resurrection. Romans 6:4-6, he says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism and death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We died, we're being buried, but we're going to be raised to new life. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, these three young people are testifying to the fact that their old man has been crucified, just like Christ was crucified on the cross. Said, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus rose from the grave, and he was seen by over 500 people before he went to the Father, where he now lives and is interceding to his Father, our Father, on our behalf. So we want to see that, or we did see that baptism is a picture of Christ's death and burial and resurrection, and it's a public statement of our identifying with him. Baptism is a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. Let's see. I messed up. There it is. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Then he says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses, the confession is made unto salvation. Then he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Baptism is a serious, serious thing. And it's like I told the class a week or two ago. I have come to understand that I believe in the Western world it's hard for us to understand the gravity or the seriousness of baptism. But just several weeks ago, Lyle and Joel and I got to meet some people that understand this concept. When you sit with people that when they tell us that when they became baptized, they had threats on their lives made, they had attempts on their lives made, their families were killed, all for the sake of identifying with Jesus Christ. Before baptism, not such a big deal. But as soon as they're baptized, and you can go all through I've met people all over the world that had this same story, that understand what it means to identify with Jesus Christ in baptism and what it means to their physical body because of that step. It's hard for us to grasp in our nice, clean church or nice, clean life that we have here in the States. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's hard for us to grasp. For most other religions, or at least Islam, to publicly acknowledge Jesus through baptism is nothing short of a death sentence, which it should be for all of us. The old man should be crucified. But the Bible is clear that this is an important part of salvation, being baptized. But not only is baptism a serious event, it's also a joyous event. Luke 15:7 says, I say to you, and this is Jesus talking, he says, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. This morning, I believe it's a time for rejoicing. It's a time for celebrating. Even the Father celebrated when Jesus was born, when Jesus was baptized. Remember the dove coming down from heaven? What an event. It's a joyous event. I've been to other places of the world and participated in baptisms in other parts of the country, and they seem to get this concept. When a person comes up out of the river or whatever they're being baptized, the congregation erupts in applause and shouts of joy. I think it should be like that. Because something is going to happen here this morning. Something is going to happen. When a person is signifying that they're dying and being raised to new life, it's a joyous event. I have asked John and the team to come forward and lead us in the song, To the River. I know we're not going to the river, but think about the words as you sing them. I think it's a beautiful picture of baptism. So, John, if you would come forward and have everybody stand and just stretch a little bit. It's going to be another little bit of time of sitting, so...